each week on this program, I interview people who are part of this evolution of consciousness that's happening on this earth and around probably many dimensions of reality. Tonight's guest is Jim Self, and he is he's the founder of the Mastering Alchemy School. He is really somebody bringing the earth into its understanding and evolution of this ascension process. We'll talk about what that actually means. Jim, thank you for coming to the program today.
Well, thank you, Alan, very much for having me.
You know, I wanted to talk to you particularly because, well, I know you are training a lot of people and opening up their capacities for an expanded consciousness, but I just recently had an interesting experience I wanted to talk to you about, and I know you talk about dreams. I was sleeping. I was actually in New Orleans. I was having this lucid dream, and I was aware that I was dreaming, and I started to sense myself out of my body, but I also noticed that my state of consciousness was first altered from my normal waking reality, but that I had sensations and I had senses that were not of the physical body. I was sensing in this, let's call it astral body, and then I wasn't sure if I was breathing or not, and then that thought brought me right back in the body. So can we talk about a little bit about this facility to navigate other dimensions of consciousness?
Sure. The process you're describing, sleep, is a very interesting thing. You basically say to the physical body, I wish to rest now. In that statement, the body starts to shut down. As it shuts down, the emotional astral body, those are the same body, the astral body and the emotional body. So the emotional astral body, the mental, the spiritual body, begin to detach from the physical body. This is done at the acupuncture points. The junction point between the emotional, mental, astral body and the physical is in the acupuncture points. Acupuncture points are little magnetic vortices. If you turn them one way, you will release the magnetic hold. If you turn it another way, you'll entighten the magnetic hold. So in sleep, you release those acupuncture points and the body begins to go into an astral space. The astral space is actually part of the fourth dimension. And it your sleep space that you go to, most people consider sleep as astral. But really, when you pass through the astral plane and you go home every single night. You leave the body and go home. That 8 hours that you sleep that you don't remember anything is a very fine frequency that is very fully conscious. What happens, though, is when you start to come back from that full consciousness, you pass through that very noisy astral plane, and then you come back into the body. And if you connect at those acupuncture points, what you experience at that moment is the exact same amount of noise that you experienced when you went to sleep. You know, you go to, most people don't clear their space when they go to sleep. They just go, I'm tired, exhausted, I had a bad day, and they fall in bed in the same energy that they've been in all day. Right. When you come back to the body, you hook yourself back to the body in that same noise.
I just want to ask you about the acupuncture points, because I studied acupuncture, and I'm an acupuncturist. When you say the astral body is hooked into the acupuncture points, because these points have to do with the internal organs, the connection to the internal organs, so does the astral body then have its own set of organs, in a sense, astral organs?
No, and, you know, it's a complicated question, but basically, keep it simple. Let me explain this way. There are a lot more acupuncture points than the acupuncture map shows. And the ones you see and the ones an acupuncture plays with relates to how the transition between emotional body, mental body, and physical body take place. And it takes place through those meridian systems and the acupuncture points. So rather than trying to define the astral body as a similarity to the physical body, it is. But then again, it very much isn't as you start to play a little differently in the game.
Well, the image I got was as if there's like points where you tape a figure down over another figure. You know, it's as if you're putting in pins to kind of hold, like on top of another form, a human form on top of another form.
Yes.
And and as we take those pins out or those points out, that astral body is allowed to separate from the other form below it.
Yes, consider it a magnetic resonance rather than a pin holding it together. Treat it like a magnet. And again, if you turn an acupuncture point with a needle in one direction, it tightens down. If you turn it the other way, it loosens the flow within the body's emotional, mental, physical system up. So it's a magnet much more than a connecting point.
So just one more question about that experience I had. I mean, I can start to train my awareness in these altered states, in this astral state. How would one do that? Or I know it's probably a whole course you give on that, but how would you begin to do that?
Well, how would you do that? One of the things that is the most important thing that people can do before they go to sleep is clear their space. Simply stop, take a breath, look at your day. We have a tool that's a simple concept of a rose. We just simply command the rose to collect up all that energy, those attention points. I don't like you. I'm mad at you. Why didn't you deliver me the work you said you would? All of those attention points that all of us receive all day long from interacting with others. And so collect those attention points up. Move that attention. Give back to them what is theirs. It goes back to them in a neutral fashion. And then in that rose, collect back up is what is yours. Where have you left yourself all day long? You know, your energy is like dollar bills that you leave all over town, and when there becomes a big sale somewhere, you don't have enough dollar bills. And so this is very similar. When you get ready to go to sleep and you don't have yourself collected up, you, one, don't get a great rest, and two, you don't get the fullness of where you're going.
So are these all basic requirements as we move into this ascension process? First, talk about the ascension process, and then also the foundations of this major transformation that's happening to each of us and the planet.
Well, there's an enormous shift of consciousness going on, and right now every single person on the planet is very much aware of it. They may not know what they're aware of, but there's virtually nobody that you ask, that if you say something kind of going on, people say, yes, but I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling inside myself something's going on. So that's the shift. And I can define the shift in a very simple way. It's as if there is two waves of light that are passing through you. Now, clearly that's not correct because there's a gazillion waves of light. But one of the waves of light is clearing away who you are not. See, we each walk around with an enormous amount of belief system that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not attractive, I don't fit, I don't deserve, I'll never succeed, etc., etc. The thing that is most important to understand about those beliefs that we hold is if you go back to the source of every single one of those thoughts, there is someone else's opinion involved. I don't like you because mom, dad, teacher, minister said this is how life is, but it wasn't how your life was. And so all of a sudden we have these opinions and judgments in every single belief system that we hold, for the most part, has nothing to do with us. But we wear those coats, I'm not attractive, I don't fit, I'm not good enough, around all through our life, and those coats are not, they don't fit, the shoes are too small, and I feel really uncomfortable. And so in this shift, the universe knows that if I said to you, tell me where you hold belief systems that don't belong to you, and I'll help you take them out. Well, we don't know. And there's a very fundamental reason we don't know. Because when somebody says to you, you're not okay, it doesn't feel very good. And it's as if you're walking around with it for a couple of days and you don't know what to do with that, especially as a little kid. They don't know what to do with that when they're yelled at, punished, or invalidated. So what we do first is we say, well, here, let me put it in this little box over here called denial. And I'm going to just pretend it didn't happen. But it still stays in your awareness. And so we make another deal with it. We say, look, if I'm going to put you back here behind me in my backpack on the shelf, and if you never come out into the light of day, I'll never go anywhere near those places where somebody thinks I'm not okay. That's a very challenging experience that all of us carry around. And so the universe knows you can't find those I'm not okays. So, and many of them you're not invested in. You don't even care about them anymore. But do they control and direct your personality, your actions? Absolutely. So the universe is now kind of clearing away many of your memories of who you have defined yourself to be based on somebody else's opinion, judgment. And as you begin to notice, in fact, I say this in a lot of the places I teach, is do you have a sense you're losing your memory? And it's amazing. 14-year-olds raise their hand, as well as many older people. You are losing the memories of who you are not. They're being cleared away from you. Go ahead.
I was thinking the other part of that, maybe you were going to say that, sorry for interrupting, is that people in your reality are bringing those things to the surface as reflectors of that.
Very much, very much. And so as you get rid of things, as you begin to clear these electromagnetic fields, I'll talk about that in a second, some of that aspect of where you hold on to some of those thoughts, they're just peeling away like paint peeling away from a house. And so as they peel away, they pass away from you. Far more of it is passing away moment by moment than you're aware of. But here's the piece that is the most challenging. Sometimes one of those thoughts peels away and it comes into your memory consciously. And you say, gee, I thought I was over that divorce 20 years ago. I spent 10 years in therapy. Why is this coming up now? The question of why is this happening is absolutely the worst possible question you can ask. Because the universe, which adores you, simply says, oh, I'll answer that question. It shows you the emotion. It shows you the argument. It shows you the day, the temperature of the day. It shows you everything when you ask now, why is that happening? So rather than ask why, if you would simply consider those emotions and thoughts when they come up as they're leaving, and just consider, wow, I didn't know I had that. It's leaving. Turn your head, walk 3 steps in another direction, and you won't even remember that thought was there just a moment ago.
I know. Well, it reminds me of an argument I just had that... Well, I don't usually have arguments, but the same situation I used to have with my mother came up with this other person, and it just brought up those feelings I had when I was a teenager. And I said, that's interesting. I haven't felt that in a long time. So was that me reprocessing it or just having it leave?
Both, depending on how you ask the question. If you say, why is this here? You start reprocessing. But the wonderful part about that is if you can have this mindset, is it's leaving. Like, wow, isn't this great? Look at that piece of junk that I've been carrying around in my backpack all this time. I didn't even know it was there. I can let it go. Don't argue with it. Just recognize the second part of that wave and all about this. Is you cannot be not okay. It's impossible to be not okay. But you can wear around other people's coats and opinions that say, not attractive, not smart, don't fit, never going to succeed. And then what we do is we go, okay, and we accept that pile of garbage. But we don't know enough as a kid to say, no, I'm much better than that.
That's a great way of looking at it, that it's leaving, because it seems like also what you're saying, the only way we are going to ascend is if we rise up out of the heaviness and the baggage that has kept us in density, in this density.
Absolutely. You cannot take your baggage on this journey. You cannot move from the third dimension to the fifth dimension and take your I'm not okay with you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Yes, I don't want baggage when I travel. Yes. You know, I think it's important. So the way to do that is, you're saying, just notice it as it comes up, or acknowledge the forgetting that is in the process of our evolution.
This is very much, ascension is an evolution. It's not something magic. It's a wonderfully magical, but it's not some thing that only happens to a few. The only reason we have even consciousness of ascension happening to a few is because in Atlantis we were not successful in the ending times, and many were left behind. That will not happen this time.
We'll talk about actually what ascension is, actually the mechanics and what that means. A lot of people use that word, but I don't think, I mean, I have an idea of what it means, but I'm interested. I mean, my idea is the body turning to light and being less dense and moving to a place where the inner feelings is one of peace, love, harmony, joy. But how do you define it?
That's very accurate. But there's a lot of mechanics that are in between all of those statements. And so one of the things that occurs is, here, let me add two pieces to make this puzzle come together much more smoothly. A minute ago, I said there were two waves of light. One is clearing the way the who you are not. The other wave of light is now connecting the wiring. You're being rewired, reconnected, realigned. You are remembering yourself. And what makes this so interesting is when the wires have been disconnected, there's a separation, as we use that word. But when the wire, and I don't know what I don't know, but when the wire reconnects, this is so fascinating to watch. As soon as the wire reconnects, I know what I didn't know a moment ago. But what makes it interesting is I don't remember that I ever did not know what I now know. And so that's where this baggage is being released. You're beginning to remember yourself in this journey. That second wave is connecting lots of those wires. That electromagnetic field is being cleared away from you. So as you go through this evolutionary process that's going on right now, there are many people that are playing in the third and the fourth dimensional consciousness. That's where we come from. That's all we know. We don't know anything else, particularly the people walking around on the street that are not conscious enough to even be able to tune into this conversation. There's nothing wrong with them. There are no bad people in the world. Pain speaks very loudly, but there are no bad people. And so what happens is, in that third dimensional reality, there is a box called the third dimension, to keep it very simple. There's one called fourth and fifth also. But in the box of the third dimension, there are rules and structures to play that game. The challenge that we all have had is we didn't read the rule book when we came in to play the game. And so third dimension is not the chair you're sitting in, the house that's around you, the tree that's outside the window. That's called form. That form is the staging, the backdrop, the props to the wonderful arena that you are playing in to know yourself. But the third dimension rules are very interesting. Now make this clear. You live in the third and the fourth dimension simultaneously. Both of those have two different structures. In the third dimension, one of the characteristics is linear time, past, present, future, then you die. And most of us consider that as that's all there is. There's fixed time. But time is an application. It's not a fixed reality, as you'll begin to understand as you play. Also in that third dimension, it's dualities. There's right and wrong and good and bad and should and shouldn'ts in that third dimension. The third dimension is very rigidly structured. It is not forgiving. It is not flexible for the most part. We deal with words like always and never. She's never going to be trustworthy. He's always going to be not very smart. There's no room for anybody to move around in always and never. But also because we live in that linear time, we predominantly live in past and future. very little of our attention is in present time. So I didn't like that thing that happened to me when I was insulted, told I wasn't okay, and I hope it never happens to me again, past and future. They told me if I did X, I would be successful in my future. And so that's where we live. The only moment we live in present time in the third dimension is when something basically goes wrong and we're in a reactionary present time. Oh my God, that wasn't supposed to happen. We're very much in present time, but we're reacting. Whereas when you step into the fourth dimensional space, again, simultaneously living in the two places, in fourth dimension, you live in present time. There is no past and there is no future. However, you have had a past that you can look at and say, that didn't serve me in the past. I think I will do it differently here. In the fourth dimension, you have choice. In the third dimension, you have reaction. When you are in present time and you're presented with something, you say, let me see how I'd like to handle this. I could do this, I could do that. In the fourth dimension, you also have an interesting word called paradox. What was true just a moment ago, she will never be any good, may not be true in this moment. And what was false may not be false. So when you can get into present time, when you can get into the ability to be conscious of choice, you play a very different game than the third dimensional blame, guilt, type of victim, rescuer, persecutor.
So going to the fifth dimension, how is time evolving on that level, as well as the human being in the fifth?
Great question. So fifth dimension, the rules, the structures are actually very different, and they are very much outside of our general conscious reality. They play a different structure. In the fifth dimension, you have multiple aspects of time. This will sound strange, but there are four layers to present time, and we are moving through them very quickly. The reason we are not in absolute present time is because in absolute present time, you think, I would like an apple, and the apple will appear in your hand. Mm-hmm. Now, the challenge with that is I say to people, would you like that experience? And people go, oh, yeah, that'd be really great. But really what I'm saying is what you think is what you will create.
Yeah.
So the reason that that gift is not presented to us at this time is because most of us are living in a reactionary thought process. Look around the world today. You have massive shifts going on all over the place. People, in real terms, in the United States, you have a lot of considerations. Unemployment, I'm losing my house, divorce rates up, my kid is sick. When you start having those thoughts, do you really want to create what you generally unmanaged think?
Mm-hmm. So we have to then let that, so first you're saying, as we said before, the process of letting the baggage fall away so we don't have a reference point for our judgment about ourselves or other people will then get out of our inner vocabulary, the way we speak to ourselves and the way we speak about the world. So that's why this is a process.
Correct.
I see.
Correct. So now the other piece of this too is the rational mind. Now here's one, this is a big piece of information. The rational mind only knows what it knows, and it doesn't know what it doesn't know. And when you start to present concepts and considerations to the rational mind, it will reach out, grab a hold of them, bend them, twist them, try to bang them into shape so it can say, I understand. The challenge in the fifth dimension is the fifth dimension is outside of the rational mind's capacity to grasp. Rational mind has an importance, but when you can begin to recognize and allow the rational mind not to need to know everything, you will begin to play in a space that is so remarkable. You simply, in quietness, meaning very conscious of being conscious, aware of being aware, fully aware, you just simply say, ask a question, and the answer appears where the question is asked. There's no need to go working at solutions. It's a really wonderful place to begin to have access to.
Can you talk a little bit about those four levels of timelines or time realities in the fifth dimension?
Yes. So what happens is, the simplest way I can explain it is, you have this buffer zone where you had linear time where you could be angry at somebody, have an argument, and then back away and then take 2 weeks to go, oh, well, maybe it was my fault. What happens more and more as time moves into the place where you ask for the apple and it appears, you have less buffer zone. And so we are moving rapidly to that place. And through this year of 2012, there will be some very rapid shifting. A tremendous amount of who you are not is going to go away. All of the lies, all of the disbeliefs, all of the punishment that we each hold and society holds, all has to come to the surface this year. And so that's a lot of baggage the world is carrying in terms of mistruths that it imposes upon its citizens and governments. And so so the simple answer is, it will start to get more and more instantaneous. But in order to really do that, part of this ascension process is, you see, the mental and the emotional body were never meant to be two bodies. They were the same body. And when you can merge that mental and emotional body, it happens by taking the density out of the mental and the emotional. You know what it feels like when you hold very uncomfortable negative thoughts? Those thoughts are very heavy. Or when there's an emotion of suppression or domination or slavery or incest, rape, all of those kind of things that go, thoughts and experiences that have emotions that are really ugly attached to them, persecution, those are very heavy emotions. So those have to be all cleaned out. The density of that mental and emotional body is partly what is being stripped away from you. You are beginning to find, people are beginning to find that the possibility of co-creation and cooperation and graciousness, kindness, beauty, that smile in the heart is much more desirable than I don't like you. And so the I don't like yous is being stripped away. It's taking a little time, but it's happening. You see it all over the world. No more of this suppression. I wish my freedom. And that's what every single individual is having. So that mental and emotional body are being remerged into one. From that place, you begin to think from the heart and you start to access the soul. See, the soul can't get into the body because those ugly thoughts and emotions and the density is so heavy. The soul can't get into the body, but that's changing too.
So for part of the ascension to happen, the soul has to be then incarnated fully into the body.
Well, this is a bigger story, but in real terms, the soul created you. Right. I know the creator created you, but the soul created you also.
No, I know what you mean, yes.
So that place, as you begin to live from the heart, think with the heart, have that sense of beauty and smile in the heart, there's room for the soul to begin to integrate fully more into the body, which has always been the desire. You are the soul, and you and the soul in that context begin to think in the same space, and you start to integrate back into the soul in a much more fully dynamic manner. That's what's happening to many people. That's what's happening, has already happened, to many of the young children that are coming in that are these brilliant kids that just stand up and have opened their mouth with great wisdom flowing out at 4 years old.
So I'm just curious, I know you don't talk about yourself that much, but where are you in the process, or what perspective are you seeing from where you're at? I mean, I guess you've been through this, so, but how do you see reality in your way?
Well, let me set it in motion this way. You know, when people come into the body, they're fully loaded. I mean, you have all your psychic capacities, your spiritual abilities, and then you begin to listen to mom, dad, teacher, minister. Not that mom, dad, teacher, minister is bad. They just are going to explain to you how the third dimensional game is playing. And Little one, stop talking to those empty chairs and stop making up all those stories and stop telling me you come from another planet. And pretty soon the little one says, okay. And that's the end of all of that. In my reality, I didn't shut that down. And so I've gone through life, like many people that are listening to this have gone through life, very sensitive, very aware of other people's emotions, very aware of looking at somebody and knowing that they're smiling at you and telling you a lie at the same time. That's all of your skill sets, your telepathy, clairaudience, clairsentience, all of these abilities, that are there. What happens is I didn't turn them off. And to make the story short, in 2001, 2000, I found myself in a wonderful space in the etheric realms where you go home every night. And in that place, I found myself one day sitting at a table and having a conversation. And in the process of this, and this had been going on for months now, I kept getting closer and closer to this table in a way. And in this particular night, it was so simple. It was somebody leaned over and said, Metatron, what do you think? Metatron being the great archangel. And in that moment, I was fully conscious in my body of being fully conscious on the etheric plane and knowing that I was one in that connection. Mm-hmm. From that connection, it came where the archangels have said, as this shift unfolds, we believe there is a pathway that has never, ever been walked. And we believe that if it's laid out comfortably, that many will walk this path and expand their dynamics and their ascension process. And as it comes to that path at some point in time, we believe that there is a doorway that will be opened that will be so brilliantly magnetic in light that it will draw all of third dimensional humanity into the fifth dimensional consciousness. Would you like to play with us and create that path? Mm-hmm. So what do you say? Well, no, I don't know.
I'm busy today.
Yeah, right. So that's what Mastering Alchemy is, this program that we work with. It is so phenomenal to me, looking back over now 12 years of this program having been laid out, there is nothing random in the program. Every little piece that I used to think, well, I'm just making something up, has play in this program. And I'm just watching people become very brilliant. You see, part of what has to occur in this ascension is most people define the chakra systems in specific ways these days. We've all created that pretty cleanly over the years. But that first chakra is defined as survival of the body. The reality is those lower four chakras are fragmented, they are broken, they are very much incomplete, and that first chakra never was about survival. It was about well-being. So when you start to walk through the merger of the mental and the emotional body, you begin to bring in the soul, and where we play, the archangels come in, and now they're teaching verbally the classes right along with me. It's so remarkable. But when you change the lower four chakras and you bring them in each into a fully vibrational disc of light, well-being, excitement, power to create. There's no lesser or better than in that word power. And the heart begins to be something that is now happening that is so remarkable. Is, you know, we have this concept in Christian terms of this second coming and this man returning, calling it the Christ that returned. I'm going to tell you very clearly, on 11-11-11, this last November, that Christed light came back onto this planet, fully anchored into the planet. I sat with 400 people and played with many all over the planet. We're not special. We didn't do anything special, except I watched 400 people at the direction of six archangels and ascended masters, walking them for 3 days through this process, and then said, anchor that light into the center of the earth. And it did. And it was remarkable. And that energy now is now in every single person on this planet. And so as this process of evolution begins to happen, that aspect of the Christed matrix, it's now referred to, it's what used to be called the chalice, the cup of the Christed light. It sits in your heart. It's activated. It's turned back on. this is the energy that's now permeating everybody. It is the energy that is simply dissolving that third dimensional anger, resentment, hate. That's going away for well-being.
Well, it is exciting times we're living in. I'm interested in that doorway that vision. What is that at the end of this road? How we're moving towards it, but what else can you say about this great, yeah.
Simple terms, it's the unified field of consciousness. You know, many of us refer to that as we kind of have evolved over the last 20, 30 years. But now that I have an awareness of it and a sense of it and an experience very much anchored in it, I don't usually talk about me, but in this context, that has been an intellectual concept to us that was something that was attainable. But when you begin to reconstruct those lower three chakras and you reconfigure the upper chakras, which there are many more than just three, there you begin to build the fourth, the thymus gland, the fifth chakra into one conscious spinning field of light. You begin to change the pineal gland, the sixth chakra, the medulla oblongata, into one unified field of light. And then the crown chakra and the soul star, something above the head, the higher mind. That consciousness begins to open up this unified field where you and the creator are very conscious. That's this doorway of light that is simply pulling people into a conscious reality. You see, that's why that first wave of light of clearing the who you are not has to occur so that this transition of consciousness happens. Now, here to answer your question, are you going to still have a physical body at that point? Yes, very many will. And what happens, though, is you're not playing by the anger, rage, resentment game anymore. That doesn't even exist in your consciousness. Beauty, well-being, respect, dignity, appreciation, co-creation, cooperation, that begins to be laughter. That begins to be the framework for belonging as a citizen in the fifth dimension. You begin to have a sense of regalness and presence that is just the most amazing set of awarenesses, and you are in respect of everyone else in that space.
So is there a time frame? Do you see a date, or is it ongoing up to us?
It's ongoing up to us. Now, some people have a few steps ahead of other people. That's not better or worse. And so they will create a pathway. And then just like we are with Mastering Alchemy, you know, we're kind of opening a pathway. And I'm watching people at the beginning. It was like chipping away at a big block of ice. And then I do a seminar a week later, and the next group would just walk up to the block of ice. They'd go, what's the big deal? That's what's kind of happening now. There's many, many passageways that are being opened into this arena. Some will step out of that third dimension into a stratas of consciousness that will allow them to take more steps and step into a more full fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional consciousness. Some will just jump right into that fifth dimensional consciousness. But let me make it very clear, everybody is going home. Nobody is left behind. And as that begins to change on this planet, you will begin to see pollutions in clean, the oceans clean. You'll see new technologies coming onto the planet that are absolutely mind-boggling. You're going to begin to see people working in more of a harmonic relationship. You're going to begin to see governments basically about how do I serve you rather than how do I take from you.
So is this a 1 year, 10 years, 100 years? What's a rough?
It's not 100 years and it's not 10 years. It is now. You are experiencing this shift. Look around at the Arab Spring, the Occupy Wall Street. Yeah. These are people who are saying enough. This shift has to come about in whatever form they're doing it. So you're going to see very major changes in the year 2012. But please understand, it's been happening all through the last 10, 11 years. 2012 is a big year. One of the reasons it's a big year is the solar system passes through the galactic belt into a whole different, it's like stepping from a rainy day into a wonderful day on the beach. Right. it will happen that quickly. I mean, it's a kind of an overnight thing. Over a couple of years, this will occur. There will still be some dramas and traumas in unraveling in the transition, but you're going to begin to see very many things change in the coming years. I was going to say, also, you're watching right now the activity in the center of the galaxy from these cosmic rays and gamma radiation that's being produced, filtered right through the sun. The sun is now in a very significant phase of coronal mass ejections and solar winds. It's almost like every week you've got two or three. The solar activity is influencing the jet streams and the ocean currents. That's why we're having the weather we're having. But it is also giving the Earth room to grow and change. And so you're going to see earthquakes, volcanoes unfolding just this last week because of a series of solar flares. 7 significant volcanoes erupted in Indonesia. So there's a very clear one-to-one correlation in the cosmic shift, the physical shift, the mental, emotional shift, and everybody's going home. And it will happen over these next coming years very clearly.
So you don't see anything particularly what the Mayans predicted on December 21st, 2012? Is that a date for you?
No, it's yes, it is an important date. 12-12-12 through 12-21 are 9 very important days. But the Mayan calendar has been interpreted by a number of people, one man particularly, Carl Calamon, who did enormous mathematics with this, and basically came to the conclusion that it's not December 12th like most have speculated over the years. It was really much more October the 28th, 2011. And he said what will happen in that last period, this last ninth wave, as it was called, which started, I think, on March 9th and ended on October 28th. And he said, these are the kind of things you're going to see, and we saw them. So the Mayan calendar is part of that whole astronomical projection of a great group of beings who understood galaxies and astronomical relationships to different parts of the universe, all laid out in their Mayan calendar working. But basically what it says in simplest terms, as I understand it and being educated by Archangel Michael in this regard, is it basically said when you're going to pass through that galactic plane, which was very predictable from the standpoint of mathematics to beings who understood this larger level of astronomical cosmology.
So let's then talk about, okay, I mean, just as far as a projection into this world that's coming, what do you see as our, like, everyday activity once this planetary shift? I mean, will these beings be a part of our reality in the ways they're not now? I mean, how do you see this almost utopian world that we're moving into?
Well, you know, we've been here before when it took about 5,000 years for Atlantis to fall, and that occurred from about 17,000 years ago to about 12,500 years ago. But prior to that, the Atlantean Golden Age was not a utopia. It was a very respectful evolution, and people lived in well-being and respect. It was a wonderful place. You were there. I was there. We were pretty much everybody on the planet was there. And then it got contaminated with some amazing, that's a story for a week all by itself. We are about to step into another golden age that will last a period of time. I don't know whether it's 1,000 years or I don't have a time frame on that, although that's the number that people have assigned it in the Bible. I don't believe that's right. But we are about to step into a period of time that will access technological, wonderful manifestations. It will allow people to begin to live in that light body, which is not a beam of light walking around. It's a physically defined form that has very light density in it. You're going to find that as you build that unified field, you tap into all of the consciousness of the archangels, the level, the lords of light, the Elohim, the great ascended masters, and you will begin to tap into levels of consciousness that are extraordinarily wonderful, that have been around for a long time, the Arcturians, Assyrians, the Palladians, the Lyrans, those from Andromeda. These are Christed beings that are absolutely spectacular, very much integrated in the Atlantean way of life, created some phenomenal types of things to make their life most wonderful. But they're not here now, really. I mean, they're very conscious, but they're not invited. We have not invited them back in some level where we can interact with them rather than going, oh, the spaceman has arrived. It's not about spacemen. These are beings of great magnitude, great regalness. It'd be like sitting down with somebody who you just love, this person. That's what we're... But see, the Earth isn't in a place yet. Close, coming close to where that's an acceptable experience. But it's people like you, Alan, it's people like you who bring this forward so others can hear some of this, that where people go, yes, I'm looking for that. Just that turn of, well, they're aliens, to, wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? That one little shift of consciousness is all it really takes to begin to accept consciousness.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that, because in a way it is a reality for me, and I wouldn't say many people, but there are people who are in that space of interacting with these higher dimensional beings. But I'm interested in, like, the everyday life of the person on the street. How will their life, what will that be like?
Well, let's just frame it this way. If you could live your life in respect and dignity and gratitude and feel appreciated and enjoy your environment and just kind of walk out and say, wow, it's a spring day and sunny and I love this. Just put yourself in that mindset and then consider that's where you wake up every morning. What could you do having that level of awareness, knowing that nobody out there is going to say what's wrong with you, and you can freely say, I don't understand that. I'm really curious. Can you help me understand? And teachers say, yes, please, come sit with me. Let me tell you what I know. I love to talk about what I know. Versus, all right, I guess I can find time for you if I have to. Very different mindset you're going to begin to experience.
So the very fabric of our society will shift obviously, to want love, compassion, intimacy. I mean, it will move away from this materialistic interaction that most of us have day to day.
Well, the materialistic interaction is kind of a plan that says consume, 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 so I can make money somewhere in the game. Mm-hmm. What is going to happen is there is going to be material. There's nothing wrong with having wonderful things. It's just when you collect stuff all the time and is what part of the materialistic problem is. But you're going to find that the ability to live a life comfortably and choose a way of life that has these wonderful words in it. You know, I said to you earlier that words like safety and trust do not exist in the fifth dimension. There is nothing that's unsafe and there's nothing to distrust.
Right, I get that. I mean, what I also see as, I mean, of course, that's just how it will be. I think there's something about creativity. You know, creativity is our ability to create the unknown and bring it into reality. I think that feels very much like a fifth dimensional awakening that all the great artists have had. But as we bring new ideas and new parts of our imagination into manifestation, it changes the world, but it also does something for us as far as our well-being.
Oh, very much, very much. Here, let me go back and say what I said earlier.
Yes.
That first chakra, we believe it's all about survival in the third dimension. The first chakra, the mental body is not in the head. It's anchored in the first chakra. The ego is anchored in the first chakra, and the rational mind is anchored in the first chakra, and the first chakra is all about survival. Mm-hmm. So can you see how And the question you're asking is very appropriate. But given that my whole process of evaluating my environment is based on not being safe.
Yes.
Once that's cleared away and restructured into vitality and well-being and permission, can you see how what you're saying is going to occur? That imagination is just going to blossom into the most wonderful creative things. Concepts like environment are going to be in integral to the process of living on Earth versus just discarding everything that I don't think I need.
I think that's a very important concept, that whole idea of restructuring the first chakra into well-being. For me, that shifts everything in my own awareness.
Yes, very much. But see, just notice by giving you that understanding, that piece of information, how you were able to just realize, wow, this is great, I could do this. See, in a way, I just planted a seed for you to grasp a hold of, and that's what's happening all over the planet. These seeds are being laid out there, and people are going, oh, I never thought of it that way. And they change just like that, and they begin to absorb that new point of reference. It's so exciting.
Exactly. So you talked about the second chakra being excitement, and then power to create as a third chakra, and then the fourth is then the ability to give
the ability to absorb love.
Absorb.
And let me define love. It is not just that, oh, I love you, or I love my kid, or I love my best friend. All of those have a little different vibration. You know, I love my wife, husband, and there's an intimacy to it. I love my best friend. There's no sexuality in it, but I love this person. And then that little space where you see a little girl getting licked by a puppy dog and you smile and you go, that's nice. That's your love for humanity. But I'm talking about a love that drives the universes. It's the creator's creativeness. Love in a fifth dimensional space is accessible to you, but it is the energy that moves the waves of the ocean. It is the thought that pushes the winds. That's a very potent force. It is a capacity to basically, it's a propulsion of well-being and opportunity. And when you begin to play in well-being, love begins to be a very dynamic, expansive force that moves. It's love that keeps the solar system in the vibrational levels that it holds itself in, that orbits. It's love. See, so the word begins to be out of character for third dimension because all I know is I love you. But when you start to play in a fifth dimension, the possibilities are unlimited.
So they talk about the fifth, then the throat, the fifth and the sixth and the seventh.
The dimensions?
Yes.
These become challenging to talk about because the rational mind and our language pattern cannot interpret what is possible. There are no words that begin to have reference in the, let's just call it the higher fifth dimension, the sixth and the seventh.
Oh, no, actually I meant chakra. If you move up from the fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry. So when you begin to play in that, you start to restructure the chakra system. This is where I alluded to earlier. Okay. The fourth chakra, the thymus gland, which is a dormant chakra, is where the higher heart, the sacred heart, the sanctuary, the pink diamond, as it's referred to in the higher dimensions, lives. This is where the chalice, right in the center of that sanctuary of that higher sacred heart, is this crystallized light that has been dormant. Just the spark of the creator has been remaining there forever. But now with this Christed light back on the planet, and again, it's not about a man, it's about a consciousness. That chalice, that geometric shape in the center, the diamond in the center of the heart, is now very fully alive. And so that first grouping, the fourth chakra, the sacred heart, and the fifth chakra begin to operate as one unit in a higher aspect of consciousness.
And then the sixth chakra then is the merging of all that consciousness awareness?
The sixth chakra, the pineal gland, and the medulla oblongata, part of the brain, again, another dormant chakra, all begin to function in one unified flow of light. A word that people are familiar with is telepathy. As you understand telepathy, where we're talking, in real terms, it's where you match somebody's energy in conversation and you start to finish their sentences. So it's all about matching alignment with somebody else. But this word telepathy is now beginning to be shifted into an awareness of your, let's keep it simple, your sixth sense, your intuitions. But you're in a certain configuration. It was referred to in Egyptian terms as the Eye of Horus. This is an alignment within the pineal, the seventh chakra, the sixth chakra, that starts to allow you to see, feel, hear, and know information as a kind of what we would call a sixth sense. But it all happens in one unified conscious awareness. So there's a huge expansion of your capacity to know, see, hear, feel information, and it's all propelled by love.
And then how many, thank you, but how many chakras and above the physical body are there?
Many.
Oh, so but each...
To treat a chakra as a center of consciousness and intelligence that has a particular function. It would be like adding a new piece of hardware and then upgrading your software.
Right, right. So this is what's happening. So as these things come online, it's obvious then that the hormonal structures that are associated with those endocrine glands and chakras start to feed the body in different ways, and then the body itself is in transformation.
Very correct.
And how does that look? What happens to the physical? Will there be illness and disease, or is that also shifting?
As you begin to integrate into this kind of fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional consciousness, not hard, not complicated, you just have to clear away those judgments and those resentments and those opinions and prejudices. Those kind of things just don't exist in the fifth dimension. So as you clear that mental and emotional body and you begin to bring the soul in, the thickness, the density of the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual body begins to lighten up, and the ability to integrate through that acupuncture system, the meridians into the glandular system, starts to become very powerful, centers of light. Uh-huh. Capacitors of light. They begin to hold tremendous amount of electromagnetic voltage.
That
turns on everything, and basically the body starts to go into this form of a light body.
Mm-hmm. The biophotons, people call those.
That's correct. That works.
And so that starts to emanate light, so the body itself becomes the light vehicle. It merges with the Merkaba, or as some people would say.
Yes, that Merkaba is an energetic field that is already surrounding everybody. Some it's active, most it's not. But that Merkaba is also the chalice that sits in the center of the Sacred Heart that holds the Christed light.
I appreciate everything you're saying and doing, and I know you're talking to people who can hear this. But when I go out on the street, and it's not to judge people, there's people who have no idea of any of the concepts you've said, and I don't know what to do about that. I mean, it's not up to me to do something, but...
I'll tell you what you can do.
What?
And I'll tell everybody what they can do. Not that I know something special here. What happens is people can only hear you at their levels. Mm-hmm. So for me to talk to somebody on the street at this level really is inappropriate on my part. You know, I'm the one who's saying hello. My task is to uplift, to nurture, to raise people, to create a higher road to walk. So to walk around and talk from my vantage point does nobody any good. Mm. So when you talk with people, don't go down to them. It's not a down. You just simply say hello to them where they are. And then just say hello. Nice dress you have on today. You look quite lovely today. Just say hello in the nicest capacity. And then if you engage in conversation, in the smile that they generate from your compliment or your presence, they will rise up a little bit. And just talk to them right there. And if they stay there with you without their eyes glazing over, as many do, as you know, just raise the energy up a little bit and just start to say, well, I heard this guy talking on the radio and he's saying these wonderful things. What did he say? And he talked about Christ and went, yeah, what's going on for lunch today? You know, you just lost them.
Right.
Simply talk where they are, and when they can have no more, do not cast your pearls before them.
Right, but yes, and I appreciate you saying that. There's many people, though, trapped by religious dogma. And what you're saying and what I've saying, many people on the show saying, it's really the end of religion as we know it. But there's still so many locked into those belief systems.
Yes, that's correct. So your job, my job, everybody listening's job is not to change them, but to simply lay a choice before them. Not to sell them anything, not to hammer something into their head. Just simply lay a possibility before them and step back. Many times you do not know the giant success you're having because their habit opens mouth and starts telling you why it's not possible. And just say, I know it's not possible, but if it was possible, maybe there's a wonderful day in front of you tomorrow.
But was there something else there?
No.
Okay. Because I'm thinking if what you're saying is true, I mean, and I feel it is true, this great doorway and opening into this fifth dimension of reality, then how, I'm just curious how that is going to happen for people that are lost in a sort of a dogmatic brainwashing. That
remember that first wave of light that's clearing away the who you are not?
Yes.
You know, or another way of looking at it, it's like having a checkerboard, and on the checkerboard is a big pile of red and black checkers, and there's a little bit of vibration, and as the day moves on, one black checker falls off, and then another one falls off, and then a red one gets dropped on, and then another two black fall off. And kind of as time moves forward, many of those who I am not are falling off the chessboard. And many of the wires are being connected. And Mira said the most amazing thing is when the wire's not connected, I don't know, I have all these beliefs. But once the wire's connected, I don't remember ever having any of those other thoughts and beliefs. I just know what I've always known, and that is I am a creator of God. I am a spark of light, and it's impossible for me to be not okay.
Right. No, I get that. Thank you. I was wondering, is there anything you wonder about as far as the unfoldment of this reality? What are you curious? I mean, maybe all you have to do is ask, but what's the most fascinating part of this? I mean, it's all so amazing, but I was just curious about you.
The part that's so fascinating is the choreography of it all. You know, my kind of blessing, my gift is, you know, I'm not better than anybody, but I am just kind of a half a step ahead of many. And my job is to tell you what I just found out kind of thing. So that's what Mastering Alchemy is all about. You know, in Mastering Alchemy, there's no truth. There's no philosophy. There's just a set of tools, skills, and abilities, opportunities that you get to play with. And it's structured in a way that you get to see results as you play with it. But I think the most fascinating thing is when I go to sleep and I return as if I was never asleep, watching from that etheric realm the huge symphony in its preparation and its orchestration and all of the parts of the puzzle beginning to come together for a great crescendo. That's mind-boggling to watch.
It is amazing, this great choreography. And you're also having a human life. Did I hear you talk about a time where you were locked out of a room? Was that you?
Oh, yeah. That's I did a conference with another teacher, Steve Rother, at 10-10-10. And so I was explaining to this group of about 500 people what the higher fourth dimension and kind of fifth dimension was. And I said, well, you want to know what this is? And they kept going, yes, yes. So I told them a story how the night before, which is, you know, it's an Abbott and Costello slapstick. You know, somebody steps out of a hotel room naked and the door closes behind them. It's exactly what happened. And so I, for 10 minutes, I'm telling this story and people are rolling on the floor.
Was funny.
And it's on YouTube. We made it, put it on YouTube because, and then at the conclusion was, now, how do you like the higher fourth dimension and the fifth dimension? Because you're sitting in it right now.
Do you mean the laughter and the joy?
Absolutely.
So you used yourself to demonstrate that.
And what? That's the example is the best teacher, even if it is embarrassing and funny at the same time.
But that's the embarrassment is all a third dimensional thing anyway.
Oh yes, there was no embarrassment on my part. I enjoyed telling the story and elaborating it and kind of poking fun at it, and people are just simply falling off their chair laughing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about how stupid could you be. It was about what a funny story that was.
So I just got word we have to wrap it up, but I really enjoyed this as well. I guess we were floating through the dimensions here.
Yes, we have been.
Is there anything you'd like to leave? Of course, you want to tell people your website, but any words of anything, maybe the next step for some people who are already, you know, aware of a lot of what you have been talking about, because those are the people I think that are listening to this program and to my website, but what would be a kind of a next step for some people?
The simplest next step is you cannot be not okay. And so when that thought comes up, I'm not okay, or those old emotions come up, simply recognize they're leaving. This has nothing to do with me. It's leaving. It's the old paint peeling away. I'm fine. Thank you very much. And turn your head and walk in another direction. Don't grab a hold of that and go, why is this happening to me again? Because the universe and the law of attraction will tell you.
Thanks, Jim. And your website is?
MasteringAlchemy.com. And I might tell you, we have a free lecture on Thursday this week on love. Last week it was on the Christed energy returning the planet. Most of this work that we do is free, and it's on the website in the archives, MasteringAlchemy.com.
So Mastering Alchemy on Thursday, people can hear a free lecture.
Live, yes.
And then you also give seminars around the country as well, don't you?
I do.
And, okay.
Most of the work is on the Mastering Alchemy website.
I look forward to meeting up with you somewhere. You're based out in the Midwest somewhere, right?
And yes, that'd be very nice. I'd enjoy doing that. Thank you.
Thank you for this. I've been talking to Jim Self, the founder of Mastering Alchemy, and really one of the people that are bringing the awareness of the planet to another level. So we'll maybe have more conversations at some point. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to newrealities@earthlink.net and my website, newrealities.com. Thank you for listening, and send any comments you want about this or other programs in the series. Thank you.
Have such fire, universe awaits above ground.